Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Thank you for coming. I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15. Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 10. Ukramantam siddhim vapi bhunjanam vaganam vitam imura nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha
Ukramantam.
Quitting the body.
Stitam.
Situated in the body.
Situated in the body.
Va api
either
bhunjanam
enjoying
va
or
guna anvitam under the spell of the modes of material nature
vimuda
foolish person.
Never.
Anupashanti
can see.
Pashanti
can see.
Jnana chakshusha.
Those who have the eyes of knowledge.
The translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, nor can they understand what sort of body enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word jnana chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is enjoying under certain circumstances, under the spell of internal nature. As a result, he is suffering all kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person with such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditioned life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Ukramantam siddhim vapi bhunjana vagunan vitam vimuranana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Mam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Satana. In the previous verse, Krishna had said, Shri Ram Yat Avapnoti Yas Chapyu Pramati Shraha Vihi Vaitani Samyati Vayor Ganda Ivashayat. The living entity carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air is carrying aroma, and thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Shrotram chakshus parshanam cha rasanam granam eva cha adishtayam rakshanyam upaya upsevate. As he takes another body, gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch which are grouped about the mind, he thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. And here in this verse it explains that this process of changing from one body to another is not very good. People generally, if they learn that we're only here temporarily and that we'll get another body, they think, oh, that's very nice. Then they have a whole science, they have all these conferences about reincarnation. They become very blissful, the fact that they're going to get another body and they've had so many bodies in the past. They want to study and hear all about the different bodies they had. But here it says it's not very good to get different bodies. They did a survey, I believe in America, and they asked people, what kind of body will you want to get in your next lifetime? And I believe most of the ladies said they wanted to get the body of a cat or a snake. And the men, they wanted to get the body of a horse or a dog. And one person out of 1,000 they interviewed wanted to get the body of a human being. Because people don't understand that going from one body to another is quite stressful. That now we have a human form of life, and if we're not acting properly, then one will get another form of life. And if one gets another form of life, it may not be a human form of life, it may be one of the many species that we see around us. As a matter of fact, the human form of life is very rare. It's much more common to get another species of life. And if one gets another species of life, then one will have no opportunity to get out of the entanglement of material existence. In other words, then we have to suffer again and again and again, repetition, birth, death, old age, and disease, and the other types of miseries that go along with getting another body. And even if one gets another material body, the human body, then we have to start all over again. I may be a big professor in this life. I may have gotten my PhD. I was teaching so many people, so much philosophy and knowledge. But then I die, and I come back, and I'm 1 year old or 6 months ago old, and the only thing I can say is goo 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 goo. The big PhD that everyone was respecting, he had so much honor, and now he's a fool, complete fool, with no knowledge whatsoever. And maybe he'll become a PhD again, maybe he won't even graduate from public school. Therefore, one has the methodology of getting free from this entanglement of taking one body after another is, says here, knowledge. The knowledge of the difference between the soul and the body and the reason why the soul is entangled in the body. Principally, the soul is entangled in the body because the soul is trying to be something that it can't be. Namely, the lord of the material nature and the enjoyer of the material nature. The soul is desiring in so many different ways to control the situation, and in so many different ways it's desiring to enjoy the situation. But as long as we have that mentality of being an independent enjoyer and an independent controller, then we have to get a body that conforms to the karma that we're creating by such activities, by such mentality. But if one gives up that mentality by proper understanding and instead utilizes one's present energies, whatever they may be, in Krishna's service, then gradually one will become liberated from this material conception of life, namely the conception of misidentifying ourselves with this body or this mind and being unaware of our factual spiritual identity and being unaware of the supreme identity, namely Krishna. So this jnana chakshus means to gradually understand how everything here is Krishna's energy. It's not something very difficult. It is not that one has to learn some technological skill. One simply has to understand how everything here belongs to God, to Krishna. I was watching one video that one of the devotees gave me, and it was a video made by the BB, by some station in England, and they were questioning people about God all around the world. Prominent people, rabbis and bishops and cardinals and different priests and monks and atheists. They even asked Hugh Hefner. You know who Hugh Hefner is? They asked him. He's the person who puts out Playboy magazine. They asked him, who is God? And he offered a typical explanation that you would expect from him. He said that jazz is God. That was the extent of his knowledge. And even the persons who you would think would know something about God, they knew absolutely nothing about God. God is some power, God is good, God is love, but they didn't know anything at all about who God is as a personality. So if the people at the head of the religions don't know anything, what to say of the people who are following the religion? How much will they know about God? And because people don't know anything about God, therefore they assume that everything here belongs to them. In other words, in the absence of knowledge about God, one will naturally assume that oneself is God. And that we have many little gods fighting each other to see who's going to become the biggest god here. And the way we show how big a god we are is by fighting with each other in order to claim ourselves to be the proprietors of some part of the land. Just like here in Belgium, people are thinking that they're Belgium. What are they called, the people who live here in Belgium?
Belgium.
What's that?
Belgium.
Belgium. They think that this is my land, this is my country, right? As if they own the country. They say, this is my land. In America, they say it's my land. And the Red Indians used to say it was their land until the Americans came and kicked them out and claimed it was their land. But in any case, we come here for a few moments. And then material nature is going to tell all of us to leave and take another body. And then we may come back in Belgium, but maybe not in human form. We may be a Belgium tree. And then as a Belgium tree, we won't think ourselves to be Belgium. We'll just think ourselves to be tree. If you ask the trees outside, what nationality are you? They never thought that they were Belgium. But the human beings, they have divided up the land and they're claiming themselves to be so many nationalities, and the idea of the nationalities that this land we divided up amongst ourselves as ours. Until time takes us, throws us out of the body and sends us into another body which is not necessarily of this country. In Israel, there are many Druze, and the Druze, they have some recollection that they're Muslims, but in their previous lifetime, they believed that they were Jewish and that they were fighting against the Jews, and they died thinking of the Jews, therefore they came back as Druze, as Muslims. But they have some knowledge of reincarnation. Similarly, the Muslims, or the Jews fighting against the Muslims, then they probably come back as Muslims. Yeah. This is called the whatever we think of at the time of death, we obtain that body. Of course, in present society, people are not being trained to think of anything godly, anything spiritual. They're being trained to think all day long of so many ideas that of eating and sleeping and sex and defending. That if a country can get enough to eat, like the Western countries, they're proud because they can get easily something to eat. What the quality or the of that eating is, that's questionable. But they can get something to eat easily. They have some, practically everyone has a place to sleep. And therefore they become more interested in the higher topics like mating and defending. They're absorbed in mating and defending. If they can't mate or defend, then they go to the movies to watch other people mate and defend. And beyond that, they know nothing. That's the highest truth they know. But factually, with a little introspectiveness, with a little attention, one can see that this world is controlled by a higher authority. Everyone can see that the lights here are on this room. And behind the lights, there's an electric powerhouse. And behind the electric powerhouse, there is an electrician who's manipulating the electric powerhouse in such a way is that electricity is supplied throughout this particular city or other cities. Similarly, by the arrangement of superior intelligence, the whole universe is functioning very nicely, with the sun rising at its appointed time, the sun setting at its appointed time, supplying heat and light throughout the universe. Specifically, we can see on this planet that we get just enough heat and light to carry on our activities, that there's an arrangement so that we eat food, it's digested, it's assimilated, the unnecessary unwanted parts are eliminated. This body is a wonderful machine made out of the same material elements that even the harmonium or the microphone that's made out of, and yet it functions so wonderfully. When we can see a superior divine arrangement, we have to understand that there's a superior divine arranger. With a little bit of intelligence, we can see that we're controlled by the material nature, but the divine arranger is the one who's controlling the material nature. And it's our duty to find out how to act in such a way is that that divine arranger will free us from our entanglement in this temporary material existence. Because as long as we're absorbed in temporary material existences, then we'll always have to suffer the pangs of material miseries. And the so-called happiness of sense gratification is very insignificant. It's called tuchavat. Because all it is simply the gratification of the senses for some moments, and then having to face the lamentation that the fact that our senses really aren't gratified. That they're even more agitated, the more we try and gratify the senses in an irregular way, then the more they, less they become satisfied. Instead, the more they become agitated. And there's no end to the agitation of the material senses and mind. Of course, then people take intoxication to try and dull their agitation. And their intoxication turns out to be even more miserable than the agitation. Ite vidu svartikitim hivishnum dirashaya yevahi artamanina andarya tandir pigiyamanas te tisha tantra uru dami bara. Because people don't know if they take shelter of Krishna, if they absorb their minds in Krishna, Krishna's name, his form, his quality and pastimes, beginning with seeing that everything here belongs to Krishna. If we understand that everything here belongs to Krishna, then we'll understand that everything here is for Krishna's pleasure. And if we act for Krishna's pleasure, we act under his directions, not taking credit for our activities, then the result is if Krishna is pleased and he reveals himself to us, then we become blissful. And whatever we're doing in this material world Although ordinarily it would be a combination of happiness and material distress, so if one is factually conscious of Krishna in one's activities through the process of utilizing Krishna's energies in his service, then one can be happy under any circumstance by being conscious of Krishna. Therefore, it's recommended, especially in Kali Yuga, in this age where everything is so bewildering, there are so many allurements, everything's trying to convince us to gratify our senses, everything's trying to convince us that there's no other higher purpose in life, so much advertisement, so much propaganda, so much misdirection coming from the leaders, the educators, the politicians, our own parents, our own relatives. Still, if one can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can learn the art of chanting happily, not becoming disturbed by all the distractions of present society, not becoming distracted by our own inclinations towards material enjoyment or lamentation over our lack of enjoyment, one can simply become unattached, undistracted by these things, concentrate on happily chanting, in other words, engaging in Krishna's loving service, then naturally Krishna's name, his form, his quality, his associates, all these things will be remembered, and then we'll learn how to feel Krishna's presence, and we'll be able to understand what spiritual existence is like, what spiritual experience is like. Other than that, there's not much hope in present society, although they're always advertising that things are getting better. All you do is have to work a little harder and you'll enjoy a lot more. Just like the donkey with a carrot in front of its head. You put a carrot, for a donkey to pull a very heavy load in India, they strap a washing man puts a big load of washing cloth on his back. In order to motivate him to move forward, he ties a stick, and at the end of the stick, he puts the stick on the donkey's head, and on the other end of the stick, he hangs a carrot. So the donkey thinks that if I take one step forward, I'll be able to get the carrot. So he takes one step forward, and the carrot moves one step. And then he thinks, well, I'm almost there. Maybe he needs another step. So he's taking one step after another, trying to get the carrot. But as he advances, the carrot advances. And then finally, at the end of the day, the washerman, out of his goodness, out of his kind heart, he allows the donkey to kneel down and eat the grass underneath its feet. Even without pulling the heavy load of laundry, of cloth, it could have eaten the grass beneath its feet. But its thinking is being rewarded by the washerman for its heavy labor. Some of the minor societies encouraging everyone to work harder and harder to get more and more money so they can buy things to gratify their senses, but at the end, senses aren't gratified and instead they're disgusted due to their hard labor and dissatisfaction. But they're advertised, well, you're almost there, just work a little harder, gratify your senses a little bit more and everything will be alright. Before, you had to brush your teeth with a horrible toothbrush, you had to move your hand back and forth, you had to go through this arduous labor. Now, if you just work hard for 2 weeks, you can buy an electric toothbrush and you just push a little button if you have enough strength and the thing goes on and it'll brush your teeth for yourself, so you don't have to worry about this horrible labor you have to go through, moving your hand up and down. So they're working very hard in order to buy the electric toothbrush so they don't have to work so hard brushing their own teeth. They think they're gaining something, but all they're doing is gaining labor. At the end, they put on some dentifrice, some toothpaste, which dissolves their teeth anyhow. They look very white until they disappear. And then they have to work hard to get some dent, what do they call those?
Dental surgery?
No. Dentures, yeah, they have to get dentures. And then they even look whiter than their regular teeth. And just like the stars, they come out at night. But that's not the purpose of human life. It's to work in order to get the necessities of life so that we can eat properly, sleep properly, have proper relationships with each other, feel secure, and then at the same time fix the mind upon Krishna, understand things properly, understand where this world comes from, what the purpose of the world is, what we're doing here, and how we can fill that purpose even our so-called normal everyday life. We don't have to change anything we're doing. We have to change our understanding of what we're doing and understand how to do it in such a way as it benefits us in a practical way. Not in some illusory way, just like a modern society. Simply people have become greedy. They're not gaining anything, they're just gaining greed. As I just said, even people who are, in America, I just saw the headline, something about the, I don't know the name of the company, some company, that the heads of the company cheated the company, so they were arrested and they're being tried. So they did things like the man and the wife were the head of the company, he had a birthday party for his wife, and they cost $200 million for her birthday party. And the company paid for it, of course. Birthday parties are important. So can you imagine if you had a birthday party for $200 million? What's the difference? I mean, how much birthday cake can you eat anyhow? No one can eat $200 million worth of birthday cake. And probably people don't even know how to cook. They don't even, probably wouldn't be prasadam. Probably the devotees, on that same day, they may have spent 5 euros and had a better meal than they had. They had better relationships. They could probably sleep better. These people probably stayed up all night and had a headache the next day or a hangover. So for $200 million, they simply got sick, and they will probably wind up in jail for, they said, up to 40 years or 30 years. So people think they have so much energy, they have so much money, they're really enjoying, but actually they're just suffering. They don't know how to spend the money to eat. They don't eat prasadam generally. They can't sleep because they're too fearful of the reactions for their sinful activities. They don't have proper relationships with each other because they're simply trying to exploit each other. And as far as defending, they're always in anxiety that everything's going to be taken away. And they have no power. The government can take it away. Their wife can take it away. I saw another headline, I didn't read the article, but some lady, she declared her husband was dead, although he wasn't dead. And then she sold all his property and disappeared. Or he took all his property, sold everything, and disappeared. By the time he found out what was happening, he was probably practically half dead anyhow. So we can't even protect our properties. Eventually we die, it's all taken away. But in the meantime, everyone's trying to get what we have. The government's trying to get it, the bank's trying to get it, our relatives are trying to get it, our wife is trying to get it, our husband's trying to get it, our friends are trying to get it, the dog's trying to get it. Everyone's trying to get what we have, so everyone's fearful, they can't defend. As I've told that story before, one last story. One Brahmin, he was very saintly, and all he had was one pair of underwear, because he was always chanting Hare Krishna, he didn't need anything else. So one day, he was bathing in the river, and he took off his underwear, and he washed it and put it by the riverbank. And one mouse came and took the underwear away. Then he decided, in order to protect his next pair of underwear that he begged, he decided the best thing to do is to get a cat. So after getting the cat wanted some milk. So he had to get a cow. But the cow had to be milked, so he had to get a wife. But the wife wanted some children, so he had to get a house. But in order to pay for the house, he had to get a job. In order to go to the job, he needed a car. But to pay for the car, he had to work at night. So now he was working at night. He had two jobs. He had a house. He had a car. He had a wife, two children. He had a cow and a cat, all to protect his underwear. And then he realized that it would probably in the future be impossible to protect his underwear, so he took it off and threw it away. And then he just walked away. So society is such that people work very hard in order to defend themselves, but at the end no one feels very secure or defended. We'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Conclusion, of course, is as always, you know, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the same time, engage Krishna's energies, which is everything, everything that's within our realm of possibility. Utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service, our physical assets, our mind, our words, our intelligence in Krishna's service, and Krishna will be pleased and reciprocate. And then we'll be able to experience how nice it is to chant Hare Krishna, how nice it is to associate with Krishna in a devotional mood, as the residents of Vrindavan have, how that the whole atmosphere becomes blissful because of that devotional attitude, that service attitude. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Granth Raj, Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.